You're listening to The Naked Scientist. I'm Greer Jackson, he's Chris Smith, and now we're heading out of the news and onto the main section of our programme, how the face of science education is changing. But does it really need to?
There's a lot of money being ploughed into initiatives to encourage more people into STEM subjects. That stands for science, technology, engineering and mathematics. The argument goes that there's a shortage of scientists, and this will in turn curb our economic potential. But is this really the case?
We'll be looking into that later in the programme, but first, what do youngsters make of science? Amy O'Toole is 16.
Well, to me, science was just a boring subject, and I never thought it would play a major role in my life. To be honest, I didn't see the point in having it as a subject, but I think that was mostly down to the fact that I was never taught it as a scheduled lesson until I was in the upper years of primary school.
We'll be hearing more from Amy later in the programme, but first, Becky Parker, Director of the Institute for Research in Schools and also a secondary school physics teacher. Is this a common perception amongst youngsters?
Well, I think it may even be more so. The new GCSEs and A-levels being started right now actually don't have even practical work as part of their assessed grade. Now, we hope that teachers do practical work, but much of syllabuses are very content heavy, and it frightens me to think that, you know, what we try and teach them, all the answers are known. There's no sort of scope for the students to contribute. You know, they turn the page and see the results of the experiment they've just done. And the sort of aspect of how science works is sort of a bit contrived. Because I think young people have a love of science. It's just it gets a bit deadened. And I think teachers are doing their best. I think we just need to support teachers to let them do real science when they're actually learning science rather than just a set body.
Indeed, I remember very clearly my science lessons. Most of the experiments were actually done by teachers at the front of the class. There wasn't anything hands-on, and there certainly wasn't anything where we were actually conducting our own scientific investigations of stuff that isn't known about so much. Do you think that's the main reason why perhaps youngsters might think it's a little bit, I don't know, a little bit boring or might not be going into the discipline?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like doesn't mean enough to them and it doesn't nurture the potential they have. You know, we just think there's so much content they need to know. But, you know, in the internet age, they don't need to know all that content. I mean, obviously, they've got to get exams, but we've got to be able to sort of inspire them with the wonders of science rather than thinking they've got to get through a certain quantity of material and not do anything investigative and inspirational and experimental themselves.
Because ultimately, this isn't really what science is about. You don't sit around and reading a textbook the whole time. You're actually out there and investigating things. But, you know, science education has been changing recently. And I've noticed there's this increasing, pattern where children are actually beginning to do science themselves that's previously been unknown before.
Yeah, I think there's a number of schemes, and what we're trying to do at the Institute for Research in Schools, which has just established, thanks to a fantastic philanthropist funding us to start up, we're trying to make schools able to have the support from us to actually take part. We've got a number of national projects already going. We've got one big project called CERN at School, where we have detector chips from the Large Hadron Collider in 50 schools across the country, and we've put a detector in space, and the students design this and they're getting new data off, which is useful for NASA. You know, students can do amazing things, and we've got to give them the ability to take part in this stuff.
What strikes me here is that not only are these students becoming scientists in their own right, but also this is a great potential for professors to help outsource some of this research to younger people as well. It's like a twofold benefit, so to speak.
Well, it is exactly. And I think if universities start to realise there's this whole group of young people who have the ability to contribute. I mean, it's a bit like citizen science, but a bit more beyond that, because you want the students to actually do some of those real investigations of, you know, what computer programmes do I need? What sort of analysis do I need? You want them to use the skills of a scientist to contribute to a major research project. And they don't have to start doing that at the end of their, you know, university degree, they can do that at school. Many more schools can do this, and that's what we want to do, to make it a more standard thing, that teachers have that inspiration and reinvigoration in their subject, students see what real science is like, and universities have some more meaningful interaction with their partner schools.
Indeed, but one thing that does strike me is, how can you trust this data? How trustworthy is it? Is it following the correct standards that you would expect of a peer-reviewed publication?
Oh, well, yes, we have to go through that's why we publish my students' work in peer-reviewed journals. And we have, say, data from the satellite. I've got an expert in astronaut dosimetry flying over from NASA next week to talk to my students about their data. You know, this is proper stuff. It's not anything Mickey Mouse. It's the real thing. And that's what we should give our students an experience of. They don't have to just be given sort of cleaned up, perfect things. They should see the real world of science.
What sort of reaction have you had from your students, very briefly?
Well, they love it. I mean, it's a chance for them to actually feel as though they're making a contribution. And I think that's one of the real downsides of science education, is they don't feel they can ever contribute, yet they've got amazing ideas and they're so skilled in so many areas. And so they can actually see how they might see themselves in the future as a contributing scientist. And so many of them carry on and be, you know, real proper scientists of the future.
Inspiring stuff. Thank you very much. That was Becky Parker, Director of the Institute for Research in Schools.
Oh, I wish Becky had been my physics teacher. I think it would have been smashing.